Good morning, good afternoon, good night, whenever you're listening. Thank y'all for sticking with me. This is the first podcast of 2022. Last week, I took a bit of a break. I was going to start my 2 a week, but I took a break because I just wanted to mentally prepare myself and, you know, get some things in order. The family, the kids were still out of school, and it's just been hectic at the house to even try to get, you know, podcasts out. Even so, now I'm trying to record as of recent. So I just wanted to get that situated. And now that that's done, I had to do some maintenance on the daily driver this weekend too. And it was kind of crazy when it came down to that, because on this car that I drive, it's a 2012 Ford Fusion with a V6, right? And it's a good car. It has good gas mileage. But it had a misfire, so I had to order a coil pack and spark plug. And so the thing about it is that I ended up having to get to the one. It's always a trouble one. It was number 5. So to get to it, you literally had to pull off the whole upper intake manifold and to just swap out a coil pack and a spark plug. And then I didn't have the socket for the spark plug, so I just ended up having to put the coil pack on it. And I have to find the right socket to do the spark plug and take it all back apart again to then, you know, get it completely fixed. But, I mean, for now, it's working. I just want to change the spark plug because I bought it, and I just want to change it anyway, right? Just a bit of a headache when it came to doing this, and I was trying to get it done before the weather came, and we had this strong thunderstorm that came through. So I was trying to hurry up and get it done right. I ended up making it before the rain. I had to work this weekend, so it was hectic, man. Really, I'm trying to do all of this stuff in a limited amount of time, but we made it happen though, and it was all good. So no complaints there whatsoever. But once we got that straightened out, you know, it's back to the regular scheduled program and just, you know, trying to get back to, you know, getting the podcast back in order. And we're going to get some work done on the car probably this weekend. Probably get that front end straightened out, get those get the fenders and the bumper off. And yeah, that's the goal for the weekend, is to get the fenders, front fenders and the front bumper off the 240, and get started on cleaning up that front engine bay, and getting all that stuff out that I don't need anymore. And just, you know, just going with that, man. Cause it's been hectic. It's been hard, and I was getting cold and stuff too. So I've been in the garage a lot, trying to get that heat straightened out too. That garage is a mess too. So once that 240 is straightened out, we got to figure out what we're going to do with that subframe, and then got to get that engine to the machine shop and get that rebuilt. Cause once that's done, once the motor's rebuilt, I can get engine mounts, and I can, you know, I have almost everything for the motor to go back into the car and the run. So I want to get it done for the summertime, but we're going to make that happen. It's a little at a time. Just keep chipping away. And so I was reading this article on Motor Trend where it was California was saying they're going to ban the sale of new small engines. So leaf blowers and 2-stroke weed eaters and things of that nature. And I was that's kind of crazy when you sit back and you think about it, because that's going to impact a lot of commercial lawn care businesses, as, you know, they heavily rely on gas power, especially because of the nature of what they do, right? And some of those companies, they cut grass all year round. So it's cold, hot, rain, it doesn't matter. As long as it's not snowing and they can cut the grass, they're gonna cut it. You know, that's the part of the business. And I just don't understand how like something like that can make sense, right? And like them banning the sale of new internal combustion engines by 2030 in California, and like other states are following that trend as well. And it's like that's kind of crazy when you think about it, because a lot of people, you know, depend on gas itself, right? Because of the nature of it, like you can fill up your car and like you can drive across country. So, and it's not like I'm like against electric cars. I just don't think that it makes sense. It just doesn't seem like the logical decision to like switch everybody over to a gas car. It's like I don't think that the government should be the ones to make that decision either, because it's like they're using it as an environmental thing, and I don't think that the world is ready. I don't think our world is ready for something like that type of switch at this point. I think electric cars are good. I think that for the people who use them in the fashion that they are to be used in, like to be honest, like they're for city driving, right? They're not for like long drives. So they're like for commuting back and forth. And it makes sense for that to be like that, but it just doesn't. But what they're pushing is this is going to replace everything that you do in a car. And it's like, I don't believe that. And even like looking at the grand scheme of it, it's like what it comes down to for me is like one of the like the pros and cons of it for me is this. Like one of like the big like the a big pro is like you save money, right? It's like you perceive the saving money, right? Like I think like that's one of those things that, you know, people like look at like, oh, well, you're saving money because you don't have to spend money on gas, and it's gonna cost you like $7 to supercharge your car and all this kind of shit, right? Okay, cool. But then it's like one of the big cons again is cost, because like the barrier for entry is super high. Like nobody likes to talk about that. Nobody likes to talk about like how, you know, the Ford Lightning, like to get a 300-mile car, 300-mile truck, is that's a $20,000 option on top of a $50,000 truck. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that's something that people aren't really like discussing. It, people are throwing that shit around like having a 50,000, like having a $75,000 electric truck is like a cool thing. Like that's a lot of money. And you know, I think I saw this thing where Honda is doing, it's called not Honda, but Hyundai is doing, it's called Hyundai Home, where it's like you buy a car, you get the solar panel, and you get the battery for your home, and it's all wrapped up into like one package, right? And that makes a lot of sense for people who, you know, if like that's your, if you're on that level to be able to do that, like that makes a lot of sense, right? Well, I won't say it makes a lot of sense. It's a cool package, right? Because you have like a solar panel which helps your house, and basically like you're probably gonna end up putting power back into the grid anyway, to where that's gonna help you on your power bill with charging your car and stuff like that. But then another con of it is the cars look like shit. Like I asked my wife about the Hyundai, I'm like, would you drive this car? And she looked at it and was like, no, the car's ugly. Like it just doesn't look like a cool car. And I think for a lot of people, like looks of a car really matter, right? Like I understand like some people like they look at the car as a utility, which it is, and it's like a privilege. And but it's like when you look at something, like if you're going to spend your money on a car, right? It's like you want a car that looks cool. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Like, you want a car that looks cool. And so it's like, why would anybody buy a car that they don't like how it looks? And I think like one of like the big issues with the electric cars is like they just don't look like good cars. Like they don't look good. I don't want to say they don't look futuristic. They look like something they just I don't know. I haven't put my finger on it yet. Like it looks futuristic, but it's not like a good futuristic, right? And I think that's an issue for a lot of people. I know, like my wife, she said she don't want one of those cars. Like she was looking at like hybrids and things like that. Like that would have like she but they look better for her. But that's like a huge like selling point. And I think another one is like I don't think I'm gonna be totally sold on electric cars until we have like an electric Toyota Corolla. I was looking at Toyota Corollas, like the most expensive Toyota Corolla you can buy brand new, if I'm not mistaken, at the moment is the Toyota Corolla Apex, and it's $26,000. And even when they come out with the four-wheel drive, like Toyota Corolla GR, I'm pretty sure it's gonna be 30. You know what I'm saying? Like 30, 32,000. Like, and let's just be honest, like that's not a lot of money when it comes to, you know, that's like a good mid price for cars. But it's like if you're trying to sell a Toyota Corolla for $40,000 and it's fully electric, like it's just not gonna make, that's not gonna hit well. So until like we see like Toyota Corollas and Nissan Sentras and, you know, small Honda Accords and Honda Civics is fully electric and, you know, the price makes sense for a lot of people, like it's just not gonna happen. I just don't see that catching on. And even like in my lifetime, I think that one of the issues that we're gonna run into is recycling those batteries, and like the used car market for electric cars is gonna be super hard to get a hold of, because a lot of people who are in the used car market, they're gonna be trying to, like, you have to get like electric charging stations, and like a lot of people have to adopt certain types of, you know, there has to be a certain adaptation, not just from the end consumer, but from people in apartment complexes. Like apartment complexes will have to have, you know, charging stations, and people have to have, you know, charging units in their home, and you know what I'm saying? Like workplaces and parking lots are gonna have to have charging units, and it's just gonna have to be a wide adaptation that I don't think a lot of people are really like looking at from that perspective. And I think it's gonna cost the city a lot of money. It's gonna cost a lot of people a lot of money to get that, and it's gonna force our power grid to improve. Like that's just gonna have to happen. Like we can't have a crappy power grid trying to, you know, charge thousands of electric cars at a time. So I just see like there has to be a lot of change and a lot of adaptation and a lot of, you know, coordination from people for something like this to be widely accepted. So basically, it's, I don't know. I like it just doesn't, it just seems like there's a lot of moving parts and moving pieces to this, and it's a lot of infrastructure that's already in place that people aren't going to be willing to reinvest into, you know, swapping over to a new, you know, system. And so like that's something that's going to have to play a part in it. And it's like electric cars are going to have to be, like fire departments are going to have to change up their infrastructure on how they, their infrastructure and their chain and their training on how they put out fires for electric cars, and you know, for even electric houses, and because those batteries, like they burn, and like that's a, that chemical fire is nasty. I remember when I used to race RC cars, those things would get, and like we, I remember, okay, so I remember when we used to race RC cars, and we had LiPo batteries, so it's lithium polymer batteries. And if you didn't charge them correctly, so if we use like a old school charger for like a nickel metal hydride or a nickel cadmium battery, you could literally just like plug it in and it would just charge. But you needed a battery charger that was like almost like a trickle charger in a way. So it would plug it in and it would charge, and it would like ramp up the voltage like when it was low, but then like as it got higher, as the capacity, as it got, you know, the percentage got higher charge, it would get lower and lower and lower and lower and lower, right? So you had, and like people would put them in like those LiPo, those battery charging bags, so just in case it caught on fire, it's like a fireproof or fire resistant bag. But it's like those cars, like they, I mean, some things are gonna happen, right? People, how we, houses catch on fire, accidents happen, like shit goes wrong. And so that's something that the fire department and like the cities are gonna have to, you know, they're gonna have to train on how to get that situated, and you know, how to properly put out those fires. So that's like a thing. And so it's just gonna be a whole lot. Like there's a whole lot that goes into that that I don't think that the end user understands or even really cares about, to be honest. Because if you talk to a lot of people, they're just like, oh, well, it's for the environment, it's for the environment. And I don't even believe that electric cars are good for the environment, because the power has to come from somewhere. And you don't just generate power, you don't generate electricity just because. I know in Alabama we have these natural gas power plants, and like they're very efficient and we make a ton of power. But it's like we still have coal power plants too. And I know some other states have coal power plants. You know, we do have hydroelectric dams, and you know what I'm saying? Like all of that stuff comes into account when you're looking into like the environmental aspect of it. And it's just something that needs to be, I think it's something that needs to be understood more so than anything. Because it's easy to have like talking points and be like, oh, well, electric cars are good for the environment. But then it's like, all right, what happens when we run out of cobalt to make batteries? You know, like what happens then? Because like that shit's gonna go out the window eventually, right? Like you're gonna run out of resources. So I don't know. I just think that a lot of it is just, it's just hearsay. A lot of it is just, it's like a fad, it's a trend, it's just cool right now. Like it's cool to say that, it's cool to be environmentally friendly, it's cool to have an electric car. And you know, I think a lot of it comes from like people who live in New York and LA. Like they think like that's where majority of the people live, and like they think that the whole country and the whole world is LA or New York. And it's like that's not how that works. Like that's not the country. Like everybody doesn't have the same priorities. So I don't know. I mean, I think like I'll eventually get on board with one, but I don't think I'm gonna spend any more than like $40,000 on an electric car. And it has to be something that looks cool and is a cool car in general. If not, then I'm not gonna be with it. I'm not even gonna look that way. So I think that's probably for a lot of people. It's like it has to be a cool car. It first and foremost, like the car has to look good. It has to have the features that we want. Like, and so that's just my thought process on it. Hopefully it gets better. I know that when it comes to like car stuff and motorsports, like it doesn't hit well. And it might be because I've been so used to hearing the roar of an engine my entire life, and you know, seeing like the smoke and the fire and the gas and all of that stuff. Like but at this point, like it just doesn't make any sense for motorsports to go full electric. Like I don't see that being a full adaptation either. But we'll see what happens in the future. Maybe some things will happen. Maybe it'll cross over well. Maybe it won't. Who knows, man? But thank y'all for listening. I'm gonna end this one here and get to where I'm going. I appreciate y'all for listening.